Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and with Cory Booker on his way to Capitol Hill. It's the start of a new era at Newark City Hall. There's no word yet on who the city council will appoint for the remainder of Booker's term, which expires in June. But Booker isn't the only former Newark mayor, or soon to be former anyway, in the news. His predecessor, Sharp James, has a new tell-all memoir. James was elected mayor of Newark in 1986, promising a sharp change for New Jersey's largest city. By the middle of his 20 years in office, Newark was being touted as a renaissance city. James elected not to run for a sixth term in 2006, 2 years before he was convicted of fraud by a federal jury. His new book is called Political Prisoner, and it brings Sharp James to this program today. Welcome to WNYC.
My pleasure, of course, and good morning.
And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but you endorsed Cory Booker earlier in the month. The two of you are former rivals for office. Booker ran against you and lost in 2002, but you said he'd be a great U.S. senator. What made you endorse him, and why do you think he'll be good for the state of New Jersey and Washington?
Well, I think it's no secret that the talent that perhaps people with disagreement in Newark, his articulation, his visibility, his knowledge of history, love of history, I think he will be a great legislator in Washington. I think, and you know, people are saying already, well, one senator can't make a difference. Well, I have news for them. Booker's going to shake up the Senate in Washington, D.C. I think he's eminently qualified to be a great United States senator and to bring the bacon back home to the state of New Jersey.
Are you surprised that it was as close as it was yesterday, that Lonergan, as right-wing and Tea Party as he is, got 44% of the vote in the state of New Jersey?
Everyone is. In fact, you know, people talked about 80-20, maybe 70-30, 60-40, but 54-44. But I think Senator-elect Mayor Cory Booker recognized that. And when he said that, I want to congratulate those who voted for me, but this is something he had never said before. And I also want to prove worthy to those who voted against me. And I think he was looking at that 44% because he will have to run for reelection in 2014. So I think he showed humility, and that's commendable.
People don't even realize this yet. Yes, he has to run for election to a full term next year. There's going to be another race for this seat next year. So we'll talk about your thoughts on what the future holds for Newark in a minute, but I do want to ask you about your book. It's called Political Prisoner, and I see you actually wrote it during your 18-month prison sentence. And you make no secret about what you deem to be the motives behind your conviction. You say you were used to advance the political aspirations of a future governor, and you were, of course, convicted by the office of then-U.S. Attorney Chris Christie. But public corruption was pretty much Christie's signature issue during his time as U.S. attorney. His office also convicted former State Senate President John Lynch and State Senator Wayne Bryant and former Essex County Executive James Treffinger, a Republican no less. So can you argue that you were singled out by Chris Christie?
Oh, yes. And, you know, by the way, he's my governor. I want you to understand that, too. It is, if you do the crime, you should do the time. I said that as a mayor for 20 years. However, you have to have evidence, you have a witness, and you have a reason to convict someone. My case is more like Harper's Lee book, Pulitzer Prize winner, To Kill a Mockingbird, where Gregory Peck and Brock Pierce, the evidence was overwhelmingly in favor of the defendant, but he went to jail. He went to his death. In my case, there is no evidence. The law was on my side. The evidence was on my side. Every witness, not one accused me of crime. So therefore, it's a wrongful conviction.
The jury didn't agree.
Well, now, there's another. Our judicial system's not perfect. The juror system's not perfect. We could just look at Trayvon case. A juror appears. And in fact, in my book, 1967, when John Smith, the cab driver, created this riot, he was not convicted because they said he could not get a jury of his peers, and therefore the whole system was changed in 1967 because of that Newark riot. He never went to jail. They could not get a jury of his peers.
And you've been appealing this fraud conviction pretty much since your release from prison. But even the presiding judge, William Martini, who was actually quite complimentary of you and your accomplishments, said there was no doubt you broke the law, even though he failed to identify a victim in the case.
He accused me of honest service crime. And when I appealed, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals said, let me wait and hear from the Supreme Court on what they say about honest service crime. What did they say? They ruled 9-0 that there is no such thing as this nebulous honest service crime unless accompanied with kickback and embezzlement, both which were missing in my case. So therefore, as all of the honest service charges were dropped then against Mayor Vass of Perth Amboy, the Essex County Democratic Chair in Bourbon County, Sharp James should have been a free man.
So having only served 18 months, far less than was initially sought by the U.S. attorney, I'm sure it wasn't fun, but with your legal options dwindling as well, why continue the appeal? What do you have to gain if your conviction is overturned now that you're a free man again?
It's not even, and that's a good question, but it's not about being overturned. It's about justice. I believe a wrongful conviction should be reversed. It's not about money, not about income. There's no place to go and get your dignity back, as many persons have said, but it's an issue of right versus wrong. And I always want to offer a reward. If anyone can tell me what evidence in court, what witness in court accused me of a crime, I'll give them $1,000 right now.
Former Newark Mayor Sharp James, my guest on WNYC. His new book is called Political Prisoner. And a minute ago when you were talking about Christie singling you out and basically persecuting you as he was prosecuting you.
I made a governor. Go ahead.
You said, but he's my governor. What do you think of the job that he's done as governor?
He has always been a very good politician. To get elected in the state of New Jersey, where there's 700,000 more Democrats than Republicans, that speaks for itself. To be the overwhelming favor for November 15th against our Democratic choice, Mrs. Buono, speaks to his favor. He's very popular, but convicting innocent people to further your resume is not, in my best interest, the right way to go. I applaud him as a politician, but when it comes to a choice of wrongful conviction, we draw the line there.
But beyond succeeding and becoming popular, do you think he's done good things for the state?
Of course, I think he's been good things for the state. He's opposed many things that affect urban cities and people against him, the minimum wage and things of that nature. I think he even talked about he would not have voted for civil rights after he left the town hall meeting at Christian Love Baptist Church. I think he's now trying to prepare himself to run for president and be somewhat of a conservative. That's where Lonergan went wrong. I think he painted himself in a corner.
And how about Booker, who did run against you and lose to you in 2002? How do you think he did as mayor now that his term is coming to an end? The whole Lonergan campaign against Booker, since Lonergan couldn't win on the issues in New Jersey, was that you were a failure as mayor, you didn't work for your city, you worked for Hollywood, crime went up, things like that.
He was never happy as mayor in Newark. Being mayor is a hands-on, day-to-day administrator in the city of Newark, problems of police and what have you. I think one of the biggest mistakes he made was what Stokes didn't make in the 1980s when he came into Cleveland. He brought his army in the city hall, tripled their salary. The person making $50,000, now teach this person, but I'm going to give him $150,000 because of his pedigree. And he had to raise taxes instantly, two or three times. And, of course, with budget problems, laying off 167 police officers, when you read the paper today and five people have been killed in a span of 72 hours, that made him very unpopular. Raising taxes, decreasing services, and crime rising in the city just did not, shall we say, made fondness among the Newark population.
Why do you think crime is so stubborn in Newark when it continues to go down nationwide? Why does crime remain so stubbornly high in Newark?
I think we would always talk about poverty, about unemployment. If when I was mayor, people said, "Mayor, if you don't give me a job, I'm going out there and steal your car." Well, hey, do I lock you up now or later? You can't. Poverty and unemployment in our cities have reached astronomical proportions. If you want to keep someone from doing the crime, job opportunity, and that's one of the weaknesses in our city.
But New York City has a 21% crime rate. It's been, I don't mean crime rate, I mean poverty rate. It's been going up in recent years in New York City, 21%, unbelievable. Even the Bloomberg administration admits 46% of New York City residents are living in or near poverty in New York City. And yet we have crime going down and down and down to 1950s levels. So can you just hang it up on poverty?
Of course not. Also, you do need the visible deterrence out there. When you lay off 167 in the city of Newark, which is a small area, and they do not see the police on the street, they're not walking in the neighborhood, they're not visible, individuals have temptation. So I would agree with you. It's not just poverty. I would also agree that we need to education to shore up our schools, make sure they're in there. When I asked that question to South Carolina, the police director's name was Greenberg, and we wanted to know, hey, how did you reduce crime in South Carolina? You know what he said? We went out at noontime, picked up all the kids off the street who belonged in school and so forth. And that sometimes is important, too.
So why couldn't Cory Booker do that? Why couldn't you do that?
You don't want to compare our records on crime, because we had Joe Santiago. Crime went down 60%. Auto theft went down about 46%. And Joe Santiago did such a great job during the James administration that he became, chief of the state police, and that's another chapter. But we were doing those innovative things. And I think the budget crisis in the city of Newark has prevented Mayor Booker from doing some of those things. In fact, he promised to add 58 more police officers. And once again, it's a budget question.
Former Newark Mayor Sharp James, my guest for another couple of minutes here on WNYC. His new book is called Political Prisoner. So let's look forward for the city. Luis Quintana, former ally of yours, was recently elected president of the city council. And unless they decide on another appointment, will likely serve out the remainder of Booker's term. What can you tell us about Council President Quintana, or is he the right person to be asking about?
Well, he's been there since 1994, when he was elected at large to first Hispanic. And more recently, his colleagues voted him to become council president. We had an acting council president. The law is very clear. In the absence of the mayor by resignation, death, higher appointments, or whatever, the president of the governing body assumes the mayorship. And then the council has 30 days, if they wish, to appoint anyone. I'm of the opinion, if 2 weeks ago they anointed him as the president of the city council, certainly they would allow him or give him that opportunity to serve as the interim mayor while we have four candidates running to be the permanent mayor come May of 2014. You have Councilman Raz Baraka, who's been in the lead. You have Councilman Nevo Ramos. You have Shavar Jeffries. And more recently, Darren Sharif has entered his name. So you have four candidates running for mayor for 2014.
It's been reported that you keep a campaign fund with $725,000 on hand. When asked about the money by the Star-Ledger, you referenced the case of Marion Barry, who returned to be the mayor of D.C. after serving time. So is a mayoral run something you would rule out for your own future?
I'm going fishing. At my age, I'm going fishing for a blue fish in the deep ocean. No, there are many charitable organizations, many schools, many nonprofit community-based organizations that need help every day. And through the grace of God, I've been able to assist them and will continue to do so. But I have no other political aspiration. I think I've served my time, and it's time to pass the baton.
They still call you Mr. Mayor on the city streets.
And they say, how about a job, too?
So, all right. You endorsing anybody for this next round?
I'm glad you asked the question, because we missed one factor. There is a special election on the ballot on November the 5th to replace the Honorable Congressman Donald Payne, who left to go to Congress. So there's an election in 2013. And because my son, John Sharp James, is running, it would be wrong of me to talk about 2014 when I said, although I was a poor mathematician student in high school and college, November 5th, 2013 comes before 2014.
I guess I can figure out who you're endorsing in that race.
Don't ask me.
Former Newark Mayor Sharp James, his new book is called Political Prisoner. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.